Hello, and welcome to the Dr. Nurse Mama Show, prescribing hope for healthy families here on American Family Radio. Here's your host, Professor, Pediatric Nurse Practitioner, and Mom of Four, Dr. Jessica Peck.
Well, hey there, friends, and welcome. We've made it through the week, guys. It's Friday. It is Friday. It's so exciting to have the weekend ahead of us. I don't know what you have planned, but I hope you're doing something fun with your friends or family, whether it's simple, whether it's elaborate, whether it's close to home, or whether you're already starting to travel, or whether you're a mom like me and my guest today, Riley, who have our kids with one more week of school, and we are just doing our best to hold on to all the things. But I'm so glad to have Riley here with us today. It is the end of year. We're starting to think about our end of year giving and the ministries that we want to support. And we are asking that you would consider supporting the American Family Association and American Family Radio, because it takes a lot of resources. It takes a lot of technology. If I could only tell you basically the education that I had to get to be able to do this radio hosting thing. There's so much equipment. There's so many people to deliver to you just encouraging news that is delivered with excellence. It takes a lot, but people really care about the work that they do. We care about you, our listeners here at the Dr. Nurse Mama Show. We're praying for you every day. We're thinking about how we can best serve you. And a way that you could bless that work is through considering giving to the American Family Association Foundation, which Riley is here to tell us all about. So, Riley, thanks so much for joining us. I know you're a busy mama just like me, and I appreciate you taking time to join us on this Friday afternoon.
Yes, well, thank you so much, Jessica, for again having me on again on your program. I really appreciate it and always look forward to getting on with you and kind of talking about the foundation and kind of what we do and what we offer here. And as you mentioned, it is right around the corner. We got one more week of school left here.
Yes. And, Jesus, so take the wheel.
Like you said, yes, we are counting down the days. Like you said, we all kind of need a break. But I did want to tell your listeners briefly about the foundation and a few tools that we have that can help people also give to American Family Association, as well as support the mission of American Family Association and American Family Radio. And one of those is a charitable gift annuity. And Jessica, that is just where somebody can give a gift to the ministry. The minimum amount is $2,000 or anything above that they can give to American Family Association, and in return receive a permanent income coming back to them for the rest of their life, as well as receive a partial tax deduction this year that they do the gift annuity. So the charitable gift annuity, we have had a lot of calls here for the past week or two that people are trying to do last minute and give to American Family Association by a way of a charitable gift annuity. The other is just an outright gift stock donation. A lot of people don't realize that they can give a stock to American Family Association and receive a full 100% tax deduction. Or, Jessica, they could also use a stock donation by way of a charitable gift annuity. So a lot of people don't realize that they can do that as well. And then, just like you mentioned, just an outright gift to American Family Association, finishing up our 2024 year-end giving to finish us strong. Like you mentioned, we do. American Family Association does have a budget that they have, and any support that they can give, whether it's just $10 or anything, to American Family Association would be greatly appreciated.
Well, we know that God loves a cheerful giver, and we know that it's more blessed to give than to receive. And I have had the privilege now of meeting several of the listeners who have donated. And one of the last times that I was there in Tupelo, Riley, we had this lady and her daughter stop by, and they wanted to bring a donation in person, and we were able to visit with them. And she told us at that time that her husband had started listening to American Family Radio, and it had just just completely changed his outlook, given him a hope that he felt like he had lost, and she wanted to come and show her appreciation. And we were so, so grateful for that. And so I'm so appreciative of all the ways that you can do. And let's see, my producer's handing me a note here. If you give $2,000, can you, oh, she wants me to ask you a question. I will ask you a question. If you give $2,000 for that charitable gift annuity, can you add it to next year with a tax credit, is what she's wanting to know.
Yes.
Oh, so another $2,000 next year. Can you add to it? Okay.
Yes. So could you add to it? Yeah. Unfortunately, the IRS will not allow you to. That's a great question. Add to the $2,000, for example. So what the charitable gift annuity is, you have to open up separate, what we call a separate agreement and a separate application. So like you mentioned, we'll just the example of $2,000. So somebody could give a gift this end of this year for $2,000 for a charitable gift annuity. It would be an application and agreement that we would send to the donor. But next year, if the same donor wants to contact us, let's just say January or February, and wants to set up another charitable gift annuity, we would have to send them a separate application and agreement. So
okay.
Every time what I call they open up a charitable gift annuity, it is a separate, so to speak, contract that is done with or through American Family Association. So yes, that's a great question. And they can, for that $2,000, if they give a gift for the charitable gift annuity this year, yes, that is correct. They could receive a partial tax deduction for 2024. But yes, to answer your question, you have to have a separate agreement and application every time you set up a charitable gift annuity. Unfortunately, you cannot, the IRS will not allow you to add to the existing charitable gift annuity that they have established. And
well,
we have that, Jessica, all the time done. Uh-huh. I mean, we have at least probably a dozen people that have, over the past year or years here, to American Family Association, has set up 2, 3, even all the way up to 6 or 7 charitable
wow.
gift annuities. So that is not uncommon, and we do not mind helping people do that. We have a lady that's single that has set up a $5,000 charitable gift annuity every year for the past 5 years. So
wow.
That is not uncommon at all. And all the proceeds, once they pass away, go back to American Family Association.
You know, I didn't even plan it this way, Riley, but I don't know if you could tell, but I don't speak numbers very well. I'm much better with words than numbers. But that's the beautiful thing, is that you have people there who can answer questions, just like you so beautifully answered my producer's question here. And I had that question,
yes,
too. That is a good question. And so if you call in, where can listeners call in or go online to give?
Yes, so they can give us a call at the foundation here directly. I'll give that number out. It's 800-326-4543. Again, that's 800-326-4543. And our extension here in the foundation is 345. But, Jessica, they can also go to our website at afafoundation.net. Again, that's afafoundation.net. And we have our contact us page there. They can also run what we call illustrations, run figures over the website there, and just put in their date of birth and the amount that they would like to give, and they can run an illustration and see what they would receive back. Monthly, quarterly, annually is how the payments are given out to the donor.
Well, Riley, thank you so much. We're so appreciative of you using your gifts and your time today to share with us. I know that, you know, usually people don't like money talk, but this is a good time to give, and we don't want to take away that blessing from some listeners who may feel in their heart to give. And we appreciate every donation. There are some $5 donations that come in with a lot of sacrifice and a lot of heart, just as much as those bigger gifts. And so we just appreciate so much everything that our listeners have done to support the work of the good people there at AFA. And so thank you so much, Riley. Merry Christmas to you and your family, and we'll see you next time.
Thank you so much, Jessica. Y'all have a Merry Christmas. Thank you
so much.
Okay, you
too, Riley. Thanks so much.
Thank you.
Well, thanks to my listeners for taking time to listen to that, because it is important. We do need support, and we need all kinds of support, financial support, relational support, family support at the holiday times especially. And if you missed my show yesterday, I was really gifted with the presence of my sister. And we talked a little bit yesterday. She's been on the show earlier in the year, but we talked a little bit about our reconciliation, and I've shared a little bit about just family brokenness and struggles that we have been through and seeking healing. That is only possible through the power of God, reconciling, redeeming, restoring. Not only does He do those things, He loves to do those things. It's in His heart, in His character to redeem, rebuild, restore. And He restored our relationship. And we talked yesterday, fun fact, she's also a pediatric nurse practitioner. She followed in my footsteps, and I'm very proud of that. And we talked about walking your kids through some tough things at Christmas, through whether that be divorce, whether that be strained family relationships, whether that be strained finances. We talked, and so I'd encourage you, if your kids are about to go through a time in the holidays that is filled with some great stuff, but may have some hard things too, maybe even grief, losing a loved one, I'd encourage you to take a listen to that. And so often at the holidays, I hear from listeners and from just my friends, my family, just people in my community who experience some of that bittersweetness. Like, there's some great things about Christmas, and there's some really hard things too. There are family dynamics that can be difficult. There can be broken relationships. There can be pain in your past. And I just want to give you hope that God can do a miracle work. My sister and I were estranged for nearly a decade, and I wanted to read to you a little story I wrote about our reconciliation that I had shared last year after she was on the show, just to give you a little hope for a holiday miracle. You never know. Don't ever give up. Don't stop praying. And this is what I wrote. My relationship with my sister was broken. We grew up in a home that taught us to hide our flaws and failures, and generational trauma took its toll. We adopted unhealthy coping mechanisms, and I found an earlier path to healing while she suffered longer and stayed in hiding. Her daughter was born with significant health challenges requiring several surgeries, but because of our brokenness, I had barely seen her and never held her. My brother's decision to go to rehab sparked a healing journey between my five siblings, and we found ourselves at a beach house together with our families at the start of COVID. My sister and I asked for and gave forgiveness there, reconciling after years of brokenness, and we knew there was a long journey ahead, but we joined hearts and we started down the road together. Right after this conversation, we headed to the beach, and my niece was right in front of me, and the sand was burning her tiny little feet, and my sister went to pick her up, but in a completely supernatural moment, she turned to me and put her arms up. And as I lifted her little body and I held her for the first time, I felt her arms around my neck in a hug that wouldn't let go. And I sat down, and we found a comfy snuggle, and she just went to sleep under the shade of my hat, peaceful as a little lamb. And tears rolled down my face because I knew this sweet baby knew her mama so well. I believe she knew when her mama's heart reconciled with mine. And she instantly knew she was safe with me and that everything was okay. And her tiny toddler self gave me confidence. And my reconciliation with my sister began to soften my sister's heart towards me. And I'll never forget that magical moment as long as I live, where God moved the heart of a little girl to be part of her mom's healing journey. Let the little children come to me, for of such is the kingdom of heaven. Now, this reconciliation was one of the biggest answers to prayer my precious granny ever dreamed of. And I've rarely seen her happier than when we came to her, restored, renewed, together. She had prayed for that for almost a decade. As we approach the holidays, I know the pain of broken relationships. Just know, there's always hope. There is always hope for reconciliation. And take care of yourself in the interim. It can be a hard place. Be okay with setting healthy boundaries. Amber and I talked about that yesterday. It's okay to say no. It's okay to say that something is going to be too emotionally expensive, and you're just going to bow out this year and give yourself a little time to heal. Surround yourself with people who will speak words of truth and life, whether that's a healthcare professional, spiritual mentor, counselor, a trusted friend, your family that you're close to, your family, your friend family that God has given you, and know that God, with God, nothing is impossible. Mary said it 2,000 years ago, and I'm saying it today. And when we come back, I'll be talking all things holiday tech boundaries. How do you get off your phone for Christmas? See you on the other side of this break. A recent study reports that the rapidly declining global birth rate will lead to a major population crisis if birth rates continue to decline. Their massive support for Planned Parenthood is all part of their plan. While we may feel hopeless in the constant attack on life, there's an amazing way to fight back. When they shout abortion, we shout life. Preborn is leading the way. Every day, their network rescues 200 babies. You see, when a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears the heartbeat, a baby's chance at life doubles. The ultrasound is the secret weapon that joins a mother's heart to her child. Preborn provides ultrasounds for clinics in the highest abortion areas. Can we join hands nationwide for life? One ultrasound is just $28, but any gift will help. $5,000 underwrites ultrasounds for the entire network for a day. All gifts are tax deductible. To donate, dial #250 and say the keyword baby. That's #250, baby, or visit preborn.com/AFR. That's preborn.com/AFR.
We were watching with expectation. We were searching.
Welcome back, friends. Christmas is coming. That song is by Kane. And if you're not familiar with that band, it's fun. It's a sibling band. It's two sisters and a brother who sing together. Their name is Kane. My producer and I just saw them in a worship concert, and they were pretty funny and said that they never anticipated people mistaking them for naming themselves after Cain in the Bible, which would not be a good namesake if you know anything about Bible history. But I do want to tell you that Madison and Taylor, who are the sisters in Cain, they are both expecting their second baby. So how fun. And we pray for a safe and healthy pregnancy and delivery for them. But that song is Christmas is Coming. And listen, Christmas is coming. It is coming really fast. You are getting down to the wire here as far as getting your gifts and doing all of the things that you need to do. And our stress can continue to rise. So I want us to spend some time talking today. We've talked a lot this year about tech on the show, but I want to talk about tech at the holidays because there's some unique challenges that come during the holidays and just our stress level. And sometimes that has to do with tech and sometimes it doesn't, because with all the hustle and bustle of holiday preparations, gift shopping, family gathering, you know, trying to keep all of the kids occupied when they are bouncing off the walls. They cannot wait for Christmas to get here, right? And then you have relatives in town and the grandparents. No hate on the grandparents, because I'll do the same thing when I'm a grandparent. They're sneaking the grandkids sweets, right, the whole time and saying, yeah, but this is what I do. And the parents pay the price, but that's okay because I'm going to do that when I'm a grandparent too. But it's easy to get caught up in the stress. So it's so important. I've been saying this all month long, to just take a moment, pause, focus on what truly matters, and be intentional. If you fall down, get back up again. If you mess up, Stop, recover, and start forward. If you mess up, it doesn't mean your Christmas is ruined. It doesn't mean that, you know, there's no hope for recovery. You can recover. And as parents especially, the holiday season feels like a pressure cooker sometimes. There's so much to do, and we can really easily lose sight of the true joy of Christmas. So I want to start by sharing some stress-busting tips and how can we be calm and focused and responsive parent during this busy season? It's really hard to do. Now, especially as many of us are going to visit extended family, that may be just, you may be blessed to have your family all around you. I'm blessed to have some of my family all around me. We see each other all the time. It feels kind of normal, but there's a lot of extended family that maybe you don't see so often. Maybe you don't know so well. Maybe there's been some things that have happened there and there's some water under the bridge and maybe there's some water still over the bridge. It's easy to feel pressure to have that perfect family picture, that perfect family gathering, and especially when it comes to how your kids behave in these holiday gatherings. But remember, the most important thing that you do is prioritize parenting your individual kids and prioritize that over any pressure that you put on yourself to impress other people. I know this is a tough moment here, and I'm taking this for myself too. But especially when you're visiting extended family or you're at friend gatherings, it brings its own set of challenges, and it's tempting to feel like if our kids misbehave in the middle of that gathering, all of a sudden, do you feel like you're 17 and all eyes are on you and now you've got a pop quiz? Like, how are you going to handle this? How are you going to parent? Are you a good parent or not? Your child has just presented a challenging behavior. They've just been rude to an adult. They've just thrown a temper tantrum. They've just started crying in the middle of public. They've just been disrespectful. How are you going to handle it? Well, it's not about you as much as it is about your response. And your role in that moment is not to be on display, but to respond to your child's need with love and care. And if your child's feeling overwhelmed or tired or just needing attention, that's where your focus should be. Identifying and meeting their need, not on worrying on how you're being judged. Because the truth is, it's okay if your child isn't perfectly behaved at every moment. No child is perfect. And we bring our kids into these holiday situations where we're going on traveling, not sleeping at the regular times or places, or maybe we have no nap, we're eating holiday sugar that we usually wouldn't eat, and somehow we're expecting them to behave perfectly. They are human, just like the rest of us, and they need your understanding. Not unrealistic expectations. So we've got to show up with compassion and attention and prioritize that rather than trying to look good in front of others. And it's hard too, because at the end of the day, your child's emotional well-being is what matters most. And we sometimes feel like if our kids are perfect, maybe if we have that low-level disapproval from that family member who we know doesn't quite approve of how we're raising our kids or the choices that we're making, and we think, oh, but if my kids are really good, you know, they'll see. They'll see that I'm doing it all right. And they'll see that, you know, maybe that'll be the magic thing that changes everything. We cannot put that kind of expectation on our kids. They are not prepared to carry that kind of burden to make us look good. They just are not. Sometimes our kids are going to make poor choices. Sometimes, yes, they're going to steal their neighbor's food, or the toddler is going to act out and hit, and the teenager is going to be wildly unimpressed, even though you want them to be engaged and have conversation and go on and talk like they're 65. It's not realistic expectations. So spend time engaging with your kids. Talk with them about their your expectations before you go in, set them up for success, and then be there in the moment and then help them process it afterwards. Your family is going to appreciate your authenticity. Your kids are going to feel safe and loved, and you're going to be a good parent. That's important. Let go of the pressure to impress. Your kids are blessed to have a parent who helps them navigate those tough challenges. So let's talk about some stress busters, because sometimes, especially when our kids misbehave at the holidays, that raises our stress. So here's five simple things that you can do, and they sound so simple, but you actually have to do them. The first is just pause. Just don't react immediately. Just take a breath. Literally pause and take a breath, and then take another one, and then take another one, and slow it down. Because actually, deep breathing helps activate our parasympathetic nervous system. That's why it works. That's why it's important. And that calms the body and clears your mind. So just pause and take a breath. Number two, count to 10. Now, not the kind of 10 like mama's going to count to 10 and you better. No, not that kind. But just say, I need a minute. And I'm going to count to 10. So counting, start thinking of things that you're grateful for. One, I'm grateful for this. Two, I'm grateful for this. Three, I'm grateful for this. It really does work. Number three, use a time out. If you are overwhelmed, it is totally okay to just step away for a minute. Just say, mama needs a minute. Daddy needs a minute. I'll be right back. And just walk away, take a breath, just remove yourself from the situation, cool down, gain perspective. That can be really helpful and prevent you from saying or doing things you regret. Number four, practice self-talk. Use positive self-talk. And it's really great if you can do scriptures, if you can quote scriptures to yourself. Say, I am not given a spirit of fear. You know, I am given a spirit of love and a sound mind. That can be really helpful. Or as I walk through the waters, I know they will not sweep over me. Saying, I can handle this. God has equipped me to meet this moment. Saying those kinds of things is helpful. And number five is something called grounding techniques. So if you're feeling particularly triggered or just overwhelmed, stressed, grounding exercises focus on your senses. So just start going through your senses. Feel something with your hand. What do you hear? Can you find something soothing to hear? What do you see? What do you smell? What do you taste? That helps reroute your nervous system and diverts your attention from the stress and brings clarity to your emotions. That is really helpful. So just by taking those small moments, it's not in the life hack or the, you know, psychology, psychobabble talking. It's just in those little moments of self-control, regulating your emotions, creating space for a more intentional, calm response, fostering better communication, and that's a healthier emotional environment for you and your kids. Another thing to think about when we're feeling stressed is being developmentally responsive to your kids. Now, what do I mean by that? Think about how old they are and how old are you expecting them to be in the moment? Christmas is overwhelming for little kids. It's exciting. There's changes in routine. They can get overstimulated really quickly. So how do you help them cope? Recognize their feelings. If your toddler's cranky, if your teen's withdrawn, stop and ask yourself, okay, what are they trying to cope with? What are they trying to process here? That can be really helpful. And then you can introduce some healthy coping strategies. It is not enough. How often? I'm talking to myself here, okay? It's not enough to say, calm down, be quiet, stop that. Those things are not helpful, okay? We need to teach them how to manage their emotions in a healthy way. So say, I can see that you're really excited. Where is a positive source that we can divert your energy? I can see you're really anxious. What's something that would help take your mind off of this right now? I can see you're really overwhelmed. Where is a quiet place that you can go for just a few minutes to get away? Isn't that so much better than stop it, calm down, don't do that? But it's so hard to do. But we can set our kids up for success this Christmas by prioritizing connection over perfection. Expect them to connect. Don't expect them to be perfect, because they will fail you every time on that, and we will fail them right back. So don't get caught up in the rush, the perfect holiday atmosphere, the perfect photo, the perfect dinner. The real gift of Christmas is spending time with each other and remembering the greatest gift of all, and that is Jesus. It's in the laughter. It's in the silly things. It's in the simple things. Give yourself grace and space if you don't get it right. And one of the best gifts that you can give your kids this Christmas, I've been talking about this a lot, see if you get it right. What do you think I'll say? It's giving them your face, your undivided attention, listening with your face. Put your phone down. Turn off the TV. Spend time with your family. Ask them What are they feeling about the holidays? What are they excited about? What are they scared about? What are they grateful for? Your presence is such a powerful reminder of God's presence in their life. And just as God is present with us, we need to be present with our families, because especially to our kids, we are that tangible representation of God with us to them. So let's talk about technology use during the holidays. Let's face it, screens are everywhere and they have their perks, but they can also be sneaky little thieves at the Christmas time, and they rob us. Do you know what they take from us? Memories. That's what they take. They take precious family memories, because we have chosen to invest our time in a little blue lighted box rather than in a living, breathing human that God created with a beating human heart that desires and longs for our attention. So really, the focus is on having family relationships by setting some healthy boundaries, not with rules that make you feel like you're the phone police, the screen police all break long, and you're serving as chief warden, but really concentrating on fun alternatives. So much like we don't want to say, stop it, calm down. You don't want to be the parent or the grandparent or whoever that's all Christmas long saying, put down your phone, get off your phone, get off your phone, get off your phone. Wouldn't you like your legacy so much better to be, hey, come watch this show with me. Hey, come bake something in the kitchen. It's a great way. We need to create an invitation, create a compelling alternative. It's not enough just to limit the noxious stimulus, right? We have to give them something good. And we're doing that to protect our kids, because as your kids are home, there is more opportunity for more screen exposure. And there is a world of bad stuff out there, friends. You might wonder, is it really as bad as I might imagine that it would be? And I would say, no, it's infinitely worse. The evils, the horrors of what waits behind screens. Yes, there's good things, but there's also risk too. And the bottom line is that the less screen time kids have, the less potential for exposure to some of those things they have. But don't make it about keeping off of their phone. Make it about kidding with you and spending time with you. And one of the things that I want to talk about when we come back is this concept of digital soothing, because as we feel stress of the holidays, we often use digital soothing. Now that means using your digital devices, that might be a smartphone, a tablet, a computer, to calm ourselves, to distract ourselves, to remove ourselves psychologically from a situation that we're still physically in. And it might provide temporary relief or distraction, but there are a lot of risks with that. You might think it decreases your stress and anxiety, but it really doesn't. Over time, you're just doom scrolling and seeing all of the bad news that's out there. It disrupts your sleep, because before bedtime, that blue light that's emitted from screens, it suppresses melatonin in your brain, which is crucial for regulating your sleep-wake cycle. It reduces your emotional regulation. You rely on digital soothing instead of doing things like taking a pause, breathing, counting to 10. You try to digitally soothe. It is a fake. It's a counterfeit. It's a phony. And then you just keep stuffing your emotions down. And then one day they're just going to come back up and explode on everybody because you haven't processed them. You've just hidden them through digital soothing. So when we come back, I'll give you some positive alternatives for using technology to connect with your family and balance that digital soothing with other more productive coping strategies. So we'll talk about that when we come back. Don't go away. We got more Christmas music coming up. One of my favorite Christmas songs that's newer. And I'll have more Christmas hope and cheer for you. See you in just a minute. Last year, because of you, Preborn's network of clinics saw over 58,000 babies saved. Thank you to all who made this possible. Let's celebrate these precious babies. Daisy and her husband had decided they never wanted kids. And when she found out she was pregnant, she immediately thought abortion. But after she and her husband met her baby on ultrasound and heard the heartbeat, their hearts melted and they chose life. Her baby Jeffrey is healthy and beautiful, and Daisy and her husband can't even imagine life without him. Each of these babies are truly miraculous, and every day, Preborn celebrates 200 miracles. $28 a month can be the difference between the life and death of a child. When a mother meets her baby on ultrasound and hears their heartbeat, it's a divine connection that doubles a baby's chance at life. Let's join together and help mothers choose life. Just dial pound 250 and say the keyword baby. That's pound 250 baby, or visit preborn.com. That's preborn.com. Welcome back, friends. That song is Christmas Day by Chris Tomlin and We the Kingdom. I love that song. Once upon a time, I served for a season as a choir director, and we sang that song as a choir. Don't even get me started about choirs. I love, love, love choirs. To put your voices all together and raise them in worship and praise is just one of my favorite things in the history of ever. And along with the words, but God, and I'm so grateful for all of the things that God has done this year. It is absolutely amazing. I look back at this year and think of our first full year of the show here and just the impact that that American Family Radio is having on the hearts and minds and lives of listeners. It is enough to give me Christmas cheer for a long time to come. And what we're talking about in a short time to come is that Christmas is coming, and you're about to have a lot of family home. You're about to have a lot of teenagers home. You're about to have kids who are bouncing off the walls because they can't wait for Christmas morning, and you're going to be tempted to put them in front of a screen because mama needs to do some stuff. Daddy's got to do some stuff. And sometimes we can do that. And I think, you know, when we look at Gen Alpha, which is the youngest generation of kids who are just now starting to become teenagers, Gen Alpha, the oldest ones are about 15 now. This is called the iPad kid generation. They literally call themselves the iPad kid generation because they feel like they've been raised by iPads. And you see them in restaurants and grocery stores. And I am not here to judge anybody because we are all just trying to get through the moment. But it is a good time for self-reflection to say, okay, is that an every once in a while thing that I do? Or is this a strategy that I'm using? And digital soothing, that's what I was talking about before the break. And that's just our habit of going to a screen when we're bored, when we're lonely, when we're sad, when we're any array of negative emotions to kind of numb out. And if we do that all the time and we teach our kids, oh, you're overwhelmed, you can't sit still, here, look at a screen. Oh, you are bored, you want to go, here, look at a screen. Oh, you want to throw a temper tantrum? Let me distract you by looking at a screen. We're teaching them dependency and honestly ourselves, addiction on those devices where we have to use them to cope with every stressor or every emotional discomfort. And we also, it decreases our productivity, it decreases our focus, and it definitely negatively impacts our mental health to be on our screens too much. How much is too much? That's a tough question to answer. It really depends on your specific situation, but I would say you probably know when too much is too much. And I know it because one of the best things that I've done as a parent is given my kids permission to call me out. We have set standards together as a family, and they will call me out much more often now than I will call them out. And they'll tell me, Mom, you need to hang up and hang out. That's enough. You've been on your phone way too much. We need your attention now. Giving your kids the freedom to say that in a respectful way is really powerful, because it's not just one-sided. It's not just you nagging on them all the time. It's everyone holding each other accountable to the standards for which you've all agreed. Now, they can have input, of course, but mom and dad still have the ultimate say, because I say, I pay, I say, and my say is the final say that goes, but inviting them in is really important. But I think about this, how it impacts, how screens impact kids, even from infancy. I think about moms who are feeding their babies, and that's usually a snuggling close time. But now I think, what kind of mom would I have been? I would have been the mom that was scrolling through my phone every feeding, and you miss opportunity to memorize the little freckles on their hands and, you know, their the shape of their little birthmark and just the way that their mannerisms are. I mean, that's such a great time to get to know your child. And kids need sensory development. If we just have screens, that's so one-dimensional. It's flat. They don't have anything back. There's no manipulation. Whereas with blocks, they can touch them, and it really stimulates their brain in a much different way, with the different colors and seeing books and having eye contact, especially hearing talking, singing, and reading from a real life human in front of them. And for toddlers, it can be really difficult, because we just try to do that to get them to sit still and not destroy everything that's in the house. But sometimes those comforting routines instead of digital soothing would be cuddling, reading, engaging in sensory play. That's finger painting, building blocks. And you know what? We don't like that, because it's messy and it's inconvenient. And that is a tough truth for us, because a screen is really easy to carry with us. It's easy to give to them. It's easy to take away. But we really have to be disciplined to give them some of that sensory development that they need. Now, when we get to the school age kids, if your kid is on their screen all the time, they probably are, because you are. And I say that as a parent who struggles. My whole world, I look in right now, all these screens that I have facing me right now, it is a struggle. I get it. But instead of fussing at them and looking at them, take a good look at yourself and think about, what are they doing? Because kids are sitting all day, and now we're seeing kids with atherosclerosis, basically heart disease like adults have, just from sitting all of the time on screens. They need to get outside. They need to play. They need to do sports. They need to draw. They need to craft. They need to do all kinds of active things, and they will do it with you. And then we get to the teenagers. Of course, they use social media to be social, and we need to help them develop some healthy coping mechanisms like journaling, listening to music, having a hobby, and being physically active. We need to model to them what it looks like to socialize in real life with friends and family, rather than relying on that digital interaction, which again is so flat. It just is not the same as a living, breathing human being. And then even you may have some kids coming home from college, kids who are entering the workforce, kids who are starting off with their own young families. That can be really difficult, but they are in charge of their own lives. But modeling that, again, just modeling that as a family is going to be really important. So no matter what age or stage your family is in, here's the thing. If you create two things, tech-free times, tech-free zones, that helps you to not always say, get off your phone. And then kids don't know, can I be on my phone right now? Is this an okay time? No, I've just kind of had it. I'm tired of looking at you on your phone. But if you create that tech-free zone and tech-free time, it's much easier to manage. So kids know there's no phones at the table. There's no phones during church, right? Which should be a thing. They can't say, oh, mom, I'm using the Bible app. You know, it's so hard to know. We used to know. I'm digressing for a moment here, but do you remember growing up and passing notes in church? That was like the cardinal sin of being a teenager in church. And I remember we had a pastor who would say, Jessica, and he would call out my whole name. Now, it never happened to me, but it did happen to my friends. And he would call out your whole name and say, you need to get up and go sit with your parents. That's what he would say. But now we've got all of this complication. But if you have a tech-free time and tech-free zone, it's easy for us all to say, hey, we agreed, tech-free zone, tech-free time. That's even better to say than get off your phone, get off your screen. That can be helpful. Our tech-free zones in my family are the car. I love having a captive audience. I love having time to talk. The meal table, we don't have phones at the table, and my husband and I are usually the worst offenders. And we don't, and if we're watching something together, then that's a tech-free zone too, as far as our personal devices, because there's really kind of something disconcerting. And it happened once over Thanksgiving where I looked around and there's like eight of us in the room and we're all just glued to our phones consuming our own personal media. What a missed opportunity. Shame on me. Tech-free zones, tech-free times. And then the other things that you can do are foster emotional awareness. Recognize those emotions early. Address them early. Don't allow them to fester and then go to the point of a conflict. So if you can see some early signs of irritation, then meet them where they are. So again, we've got teenagers who maybe they think, oh, I don't know if I want to go to this family gathering. You know, just say, hey, I know you might need a moment to step away. That's okay. Why don't you go get something out of the car for me? Why don't you go do this in the kitchen? Give them a role. That can be really helpful. So let's go back and look at for different age groups too, like what you can do to try to decrease screen time. So let's start with infants and toddlers. And kids that age, they do not need screens as much as they need you. They need to explore their world through touch and sound and smell, even the questionable ones, right? They need all of those sensory perceptions. So instead of parking them in front of a cartoon while you're busy, try your best, at least for over the holiday season. Just include them in whatever you're doing. If you're wrapping presents, give them a piece of wrapping paper. Give them a box. They will entertain themselves for hours, I promise. That is always a source of fascination for kids, at least for some moment of time. If you're cooking, give them a spoon and some pots to bang around. These moments aren't just adorable, and they are. They're brain building and they strengthen your bond, and you're protecting their little eyes from harmful blue light and giving their developing bodies the chance to move around. And that is really important. And here's the magic: model what you want to see. So if your phone's glued to your hand, they'll grow up thinking that's normal. So that is really important. Trust me, even at this early age, they notice all of those norms. Okay, let's talk about preschool and early elementary. So they are energetic. My goodness, they are like a sponge. They have endless energy, and screens can be a quick fix when they're bouncing off the walls. But channel that energy into something meaningful. It's usually going to be messy, but just choose your mess. Is it just one room that you just think, okay, this is going to be the messy room for the holiday season? Maybe let them make a pillow fort, or maybe them do crafts. I know, even with glitter, which, let's be honest, you'll be cleaning that up till next Christmas. It never goes away. But if you do want to watch something, watching something is not bad. But if you watch something, watch it together. That's the best thing that you can do, because you have that bonding, you have that physical connection, and you're able to guide them through the scenarios that you see. And that is really important to do. Okay, tweens. These are what I call quasi-adults, right? They're not really kids, but they're not quite teenagers, right? They're quasi-teens, and then we have the quasi-adults. They're often glued to their devices. They love independence, but they still crave connection, even though they will never admit that. They will never say, wow, Mom, I'm really dying to have some of your attention, and I really hope that we have a meaningful connection today. They're not going to say that. But instead of fighting about screen time, invite them into something fun and collaborative. If you have a kid who's a gamer, suggest a family game night. Maybe you even play that game that they like, but you do it together. Maybe do a classic board game where everybody can bond and laugh. Tech-savvy teens might make up a game for your family or your extended family. Some of my favorite social media reels are seeing grandparents get in on some sort of social media trend. That can be really funny. Maybe you make a family video together. That can be really helpful. So, and here's a pro tip for you. And set boundaries with them instead of against them, because that's how they perceive it. When you come bring down the hammer and give them all the limits, instead of just declaring no screens policy, work together ahead of time to agree on tech-free times and tech-free zones. Talk to them about your expectations when you go into family gatherings about how and when they will use their phone, and give them permission to call you out too. It's a team effort. And now teenagers, Bless us all, because teenagers are so fun at Christmas. Everybody, they get such a bad rap, but teenagers are just, it's one of my favorites. They're all my favorites, but really, there's just so many things I love about teens. So instead of saying, get off your phone, ask them to do something. Ask them, what would you ask me to do with you this holiday season if you knew I wouldn't say no? They might ask you to go zip lining or something crazy like that, or they might ask you to try one of their games that they play or something like that. But one thing that you can do is create curiosity. So just do something out of character, do something out of schedule. Maybe start making cookies at 9 o'clock at night, or maybe go somewhere when it didn't look like you were going to go somewhere, or maybe put on your pajamas and walk out of the house and think, what are you doing? Get curiosity to get them to engage with you. Instead of telling them to stop doing something, invite them to start doing something. And share your own struggles with screen time. Say, hey, I'm trying to spend less time on my phone and more time on you. And they'll respect your honesty and join you in that. Listen, friends, the holidays are a gift that God has given us to steward with our family. And the greatest treasure that we can offer our families is our time and attention. And if we model healthy tech habits, we are not just protecting our kids' physical health, their hearts and their eyes and their minds. We are building relationships that keep them grounded and safe and loved. Psalm 127:3 says, children are a heritage from the Lord. Let's honor that gift by being fully present over prioritizing presents for Christmas. And listen, may the Lord bless you and keep you and make his face shine upon you. And we'll see you for our big Christmas party on Monday. We'll have giveaways and callers. We'll see you then.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.